Hello, hello.
Hey, hey.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I think we might have gotten this thing working.
I hope so, because if not, I told a bunch of people to watch a thing that isn't working.
Well, you know what? Here's what I say about that. If you can't,
that's cool.
If you can't trust it, if you can't trust it to fail, you can't trust it to work.
I don't know what that means either.
Beats the shit out of me. Let me crack my drink here really quick, so we can get started.
What are you drinking?
I'm drinking myself some truly lemonades, of course. Yes. Is this your first one?
No, I had one the other day.
This is very important to me. Do tell.
It's abysmal. The strawberry flavor is abysmal.
Yeah, it's strawberries.
It's definitely my least favorite. The other ones they're fine. They're not in the realm of what I'm doing. But my fiance actually taught me a trick, which is to squeeze a cherry Mio. You know the little
diggy links. Yeah.
Yeah, squeeze that into it just a little bit. It changes the flavor to something palatable.
I agree with you. The strawberry is not exactly my favorite. However, I do not like the straight lemonade ones. They're hot garbage.
Really? I think I had a straight lemonade and I was just like, okay, this is lemonade-ish.
So I'm really excited about tonight. Do you know why?
Me too. I know why.
Why is it?
Because we're streaming live for the first time.
Yes.
Welcome. Oh my God, I'm hitting my mic. I'm Bob.
And I'm Rance.
And we are the Quarantine Book Club podcast. And we are your live stream dream team.
That's what we are.
Yeah.
So for those who might not have been introduced to us before, we have been running the Quarantine Book Club for about the past, what would you say, 3-4 months or so?
Three months.
Since COVID-19 really started. One of us is a teacher, one of us is a theater tech professional, and we really love reading. And we really love reading bad books in addition to reading super good books.
We don't love reading bad books, we just read bad books.
Yes. So we are starting this week talking about the most recent release in the Jim Butcher's Dresden Files series, Peace Talks. It's been quite some time since Jim Butcher actually put out a book.
Did you look up what the actual date of the previous release was? Because I sure didn't.
Let's see. It had to have been. I'm thinking 2013.
Yeah, we kept saying like 6 years. Yeah. So it's either 6 or 7 years. It was long enough that like I had to reread the entire series going back for this book, which I was psyched about. I was also scared about going back and reading those old books and scared about what this book would bring because it's been so long. Our world has changed and we've changed as readers.
Absolutely. I was terrified. Like, we've been talking a lot. So we've been talking a lot about how some of the books that we've been reading are written by a lot of really like dumpy white dude libertarian authors. And I was a little afraid going into it, like coming up to Peace Talks, like, oh my God, how much has Jim Butcher changed in those 6 years that maybe I have as well? And how distant am I going to be from this experience as like a narrative catharsis? And I'm happy to say, like, in my case, I'm enjoying the shit out of this book, and I'm only halfway through.
It's going to be really hard to actually, I don't know, find funny things to say about this book, because I'm enjoying it. I'm not mad at the book. I'm not mad at Jim Butcher. Nobody's kicking babies or puppies. It's just a book that's enjoyable. I keep green screening out tonight really badly.
It's okay. I don't mind it when you green screen. I don't mind it when you do. I think going into it, there was the impression too that like, okay, how much am I going to get from it what I got before, which was I just enjoyed the Dresden Files series for the truth of the matter that it was just a great story and that I was having fun. It was a good romp. It was a good stomp. It was good, a good tromp. And it hasn't gotten away from being that. It is certainly different than it was at the very beginning. And we're going to talk about some of those beginnings here in just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I have a game I want to play with you, by the way.
Oh, cool, man. I'm excited. You know, I love it when we play games because I never suck at them. I'm always so great at every single game we play. I never fail 5-0 or 0-5 when we play a game. Ever.
What were you going to say before that? You were going to say something else.
I don't know.
Do you not remember?
I don't remember. I'm nervous. Okay, I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. It's just fine. It's totally fine. All right. So let me actually so for anybody who isn't familiar with Jim Butcher's Dresden Files series, I want to give a quick like breakdown as to what they're about, generally speaking. There are 16 books in the series right now, and Peace Talks is the 16th book in the series. So
I'm saying that's correct. I don't know.
I think it is.
I don't count. I'm not good at math. You're the teacher.
We're definitely going to be spoiling some things from previous books tonight. It's going to happen. But yeah, what I'm going to be putting on right now is I'm going to be putting on our 30-minute spoiler-free quarantine timer, which is a new thing for us. So that way we can start talking about this book. And if you're interested in reading Peace Talks, or you haven't gotten the opportunity to read it yet, but you really want to, we're going to have 30 minutes where we sort of quarantine all spoilers for this book. It doesn't mean we're quarantining spoilers for previous books, but let me tell you, the last one came out 6 years ago, so I think the moratorium is sort of done on those.
Yes. If you haven't read it by now, start reading it. Like, I don't want to say stop listening to this podcast, but like, just go pick it up.
Yeah, pick them up. The first one starts with a book called Stormfront, and it's about Harry Dresden, who is a professional wizard. He finds lost objects, but no love potions, no other entertainments, as he says. The first book begins with him needing to find his way around a series of murders in Chicago, and it just gets messier from there. So,
Stomach's just making a cool noise.
Why is that?
Just over here going.
Well, you know what? Well, our spoiler timer is up, so we got 30 minutes to talk. But I want to start by playing a game with you. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay. Also, just be aware that there are people, and I know we didn't want to talk a lot about it because we post this as a podcast too, a live stream. Just to let everybody know, we will get to those. Your comments, keep commenting. We'll get to them like later in the episode.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We see you. We see you and we appreciate it.
I see you. I thank you. I think you're wonderful.
I love you.
I love you too. So much.
Right, I don't
so
want to play this game, man.
Yes, you do. Yes, you absolutely do. You want to play this game. I have no title for this game.
You have no time for
me. No title for my bullshit.
I have no time for your bullshit.
I have no title for this game. Step it up. Okay. Let me give you the rules before we start bullshitting around with each other like that. The rules are this. I am going to give you two objects, people, or ideas that are related. Okay? That mashup is going to actually be the very simple basis of a plot for one of the Dresden books, and you have to tell me which one.
I don't understand.
So I'll tell you, you're going to fail this quiz.
No, you're not.
I don't understand.
Is it like the game where you make the two, like you put two movie titles together to form one longer movie title?
Sort of. So let me actually, let me start
like
this.
Dark Knight at the Museum?
Similar to that. So each one of these is one of the Dresden books. You know these. Maybe people who are watching have read them. But it's time to go. You ready? All right, the very first one. Jurassic Park meets Weird Al Yankovic. Which Dresden book is that?
That is... Okay, it's the one that takes place on Halloween, the Dark Hallow, in... it's Sue the T-Rex. Okay, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank.
You're really bombing it.
I know the book. Okay, give me a second because I know which book it is. Mm-hmm. It's the book that introduces Waldo Butters.
Sure.
It's not Death Masks.
I just tried to open it. What'd you say?
It's not Death Masks, is it? No. Give me a second.
Nope, you can't.
I didn't know that you were going to ask me to name Dresden Files books. There's 16 of them.
Yeah, I know, and it's not hard. Jurassic Park meets Weird Al Yankovic, boy. Which one is that? Sue the T-Rex.
Deadbeat.
There you go. You got it. Still a 0 out of 5 because you blew it.
I did. I named it.
No, you said Death Mask, which is literally like
Death
three
Masks
books off.
Another one about the dead there's stuff. It's Death Masks and Deadbeat. It's like they're similar.
There's no dinosaur. In Death Masks. Get out of my face.
Yeah, I know.
All right, number
I
two.
Know Death Mask.
Number two, you ready? This one, I think. Okay, this one. Okay.
Games.
What?
That's why you play them.
You know, I do. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. This one. The backdraft from Backdraft meets the Domino Noid.
So Living Fire.
The backdraft from Backdraft.
Versus a guy who likes to ruin pizza.
Yeah. I think it's the second one that's actually a little more straightforward.
Are you talking about Toot Toot?
Yeah, I am. Like I said, these aren't solid plots, but they may be features of the plots.
Is this Summer Night?
I'm gonna let you go a little more with that one.
Okay,
it's not Summer Night. I'm not gonna say a straight.
Living Fire is. I don't remember Backdraft? An episode with Living
Backdraft
Fire.
Backdraft from Backdraft. Not Living Fire, just fire.
Sentient fire. They determined by the end of that movie that fire is sentient. The fire has a will. Okay.
The Backdraft.
You ever actually watched Backdraft?
Yeah. It's fucking awful. All I remember is basically Kurt.
It's Twister with fire. And some people die at some point, I guess, in fire.
Yeah. So pick one of the fucking books, Bob. Just pick one of the books.
Man, bro, this is a dumb quiz.
No, it's not a dumb quiz. You're just being a shit about it.
So it's not Summer Night, clearly.
It's not Summer Night, but you're close. You are close. I'm giving you a hint.
Is it the one where he burns down the entire house?
Give you a hint.
No. Okay. Small Favor?
Yeah, there you go. Good job.
I don't even remember what the plot of Small Favor is.
Good job. You got it. You did it.
That's the one where Mab comes to him and is like, you have three.
Three favors, right? You have three
That's
favors.
That's the first time we introduce the concept of him possibly being the Winter Knight. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. That's when he first puts together the Zalord.
The Zalord's Guard.
The Zalord's Guard.
Toot Toot is all the way in the first book, bro.
Yes, absolutely he is. But that's really when he puts it together, right? So, Small Favor, and also... Just keep going, okay? Those are the hardest ones. You ready? Ready for the next one?
Okay, good. Yeah,
you got three more. You got three more. Ocean's 11 meets Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade.
Skin Game.
That's right, Skin Game, immediately. Why was that one so easy?
Because that was the last one that I did before this one.
Okay, so can you tell me why? Can you tell me why I said Last Crusade and...
Indiana Jones and Ocean's 11.
And Ocean's
it's
11.
A heist.
Yeah.
And in the heist, they're trying to rob a certain god's vault.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
Hades
so there,
vault. I'll
there
just
you
say
go.
It's Hades. There's spoilers for these books, whatever. For these ones.
For these ones, right? Up until now. It's 6 years. 6 years, right? All right. So you got two more left. This one may be a little difficult.
It feels good when you win.
I'm getting you two. You've gotten two out of three right now. I think you've done pretty good. I think the second was a little. The first one was a little bit of a. You know, I think it was a little. You know,
I mean, I got it eventually.
Yeah, I got it eventually. All right, you ready for this one? All right. Victor from Pet Sematary meets Jacob Marley.
I don't.
And he
remember
looks
who the hell Victor from Pet Sematary.
He
is.
Looks. Stumped.
Yeah, I don't because you gave me a. Are you talking which Pet Sematary? The original one?
The original one, yes.
The original movie.
The original movie.
First, I played with Judd, then I played with and Mommy.
I play with
now
Mommy.
I want to play with you.
That's not fail. Not
Wait,
fail.
Gage? Are you talking about Gage?
No, I'm talking about Victor.
Is that the dad? Because I don't remember.
That's
any
Lewis.
Of the names.
All right, let me give you a hint.
Oh, is Victor the cat?
No, that's Church. Let me give you a hint. How do I your brain is like a fucking metal cage for this kind of dumb bullshit, and all of a sudden you're just like
because there's pressure. You literally have people watching me right now.
They're not there even though one of the viewers already
is
basically got one of them right.
I'm not looking at that, so it's fine.
So Judd is the old man, right? Judd is the old man. Yeah. That's you know, what does he say in the movie? I can't remember. Something about the dead,
sometimes
whatever.
They come back. Yeah, it's but that's Herman Munster.
Herman Munster, yeah. Victor is the ghost of the Russian guy, the Russian running guy.
It keeps fucking with
him in his head in the hospital. It's the guy who dies. It's the guy who dies. He's a surgeon.
Okay, remember Lewis
is a surgeon?
No, it's been like years since I've seen Pet Sematary.
Right, so, well, anyway.
I'm about to go watch it
again.
He's
wearing a tracksuit. That's the fucking important thing. He's wearing a tracksuit. Somebody in a tracksuit meets Jacob Marley.
So is it a ghost story?
You know what? I'm going to give that one to you. Because you just convinced me.
I mean, it's a good guy. Jacob Marley's a goddamn ghost that comes back and helps.
Yeah, but one of the movies, like, one of the other books, two of the bad guys, one of the sets of bad guys wore tracksuits, and the other bad guy was a ghost with chains. Grave Peril, you dumbass. The psycho ghost.
Yeah, that was Mary. No, Agatha.
Yeah, the psycho ghost, uh-huh. And then the Hamiltons. The Red Court vampires that wore tracksuits. Step it up,
okay,
man.
Yeah.
I should have told you I'm going super obscure with this because I just want to.
It sucks.
There's a
dude.
Reason. There's a reason it sucks.
Is you want to make me look like an idiot.
I got one more for you.
And now I'm going to have to pay you back next week with a quiz of your own. I'm so smart.
I got one more for you, okay? I got one more for you.
Damn it.
But, last one. You ready for this? Mommy.
Yeah.
All right. You ready for this? All right. Cool. Here we go. I have to find out which one. LSD meets dangerous chest surgery. Dangerous chest surgery. LSD meets dangerous chest surgery.
Trippin' versus, are you talking about heart surgery?
Yeah, chest surgery, heart surgery, things in here in this general area. No boob things though.
Okay, wait. So say it again.
LSD.
Okay. Trip
let's
ball.
Let's just let me change it up for you. LSD meets open heart surgery.
Oh, that's a Stormfront.
There you go.
Yeah, the very first one, because there is a drug called Third Eye.
Yeah.
We start with a really high bar in the Dresden series where we have a magical drug that opens your third eye, as you will. And somebody's casting a spell that tears people's hearts out of their chests.
Absolutely. And Dresden has dealt with an absolute clusterfuck of stuff, hasn't he? Like,
yeah,
at
no,
this point
like,
in the series, what are some of the things that he's dealt with? Like, let's think about the antagonists that have been up in the series up to this point. What are
okay,
some of the
he's,
things?
He has fought against werewolves.
Yeah.
He has fought on the same team as werewolves. He has a group of werewolf friends. He's fought against other rogue sorcerers, some of which who are actually sorcerers, some of whom have found like ritual magic.
Yes.
Including a drug dealer. Who makes a magic drug. That's the first book, and it's a little bit... It's actually my favorite book because it's the most like a detective novel, but it's also... when you think about it, you're like, that's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But he's fought against the Knights of the Black and Denarius. They're one of his big enemies who are people who are possessed by the fallen angels... fallen angels who are trapped in the 30 coins of silver that Judas was paid to betray Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
And their leader actually wears Judas's noose around his neck.
That's such a cool thing, right? Like what a cool antagonist to have. What a cool antagonist.
And they have so much more power than like the other version there in the series, the Holy Knights that fight them, just because those people are allowed to exercise their free will. And that's what in religion is all about in this series is free will. He's fought against fairies, which are kind of like magic elves sort of, but they're
your traditional, your traditional folklore fairies, right? Your tricksters, your red caps, your she, Which when I was a kid, I was like, Sidhe?
Yeah, I still couldn't. Like, if you showed me that word today, I wouldn't be able to pronounce it. It's fine.
So, and in the process as well, Dresden has gotten his ass kicked. He has he's had a daughter. He has needed to kill people he loves to defend other people that he loves. The other one,
he fights vampires. He has actually destroyed all of your normal, like, hey, I'm a suck your blood vampires. They don't exist in the world anymore because he destroyed them all.
Yep. Yep. And you've got the Fae, like the Fae too. They are reminiscent of Fae, even written about in Shakespearean plays, right? Yeah. Queen Mab, the Lady of Winter, or the Winter Queen, and then you've got Titania, the Summer Queen as well.
Yep.
And there's things also have changed in these in these vast powers that have actually led up to this book. There's a massive fissure in the power system. There's been one of those groups has been entirely eliminated, and thus other groups are sort of trying to fill that space. And Dresden is asked with being part of those peace talks as these huge groups come together and determine, okay, how the hell do we deal with this power vacuum in Chicago and in the world?
Right. And that's your basic plot of the book. I mean, we're not going to go any further than that for another 15 minutes still. Mm-hmm.
So what are some of your perspectives on the book, first and foremost? Just like your general thoughts, things that have stood out to you, things that you may not have liked very much. Talk about the book in general.
I'm not overly there's no major issues that I have. I think one of the things is that the 6 years in between the two books themselves, Butcher has there's a few continuity errors.
Yeah.
That I've noticed, and that's because unlike being able to name, oh my god, my stomach again, being able to name, characters from Pet Sematary, there's, like, I do happen to remember a lot of that stuff really ridiculously well, and especially because I have gone through the whole series in the past, like, 3 months and listened to all of them over again. Actually, I guess it's the past 6 months. It's taken me a while to get through all of them.
Because you're looking at 15 books prior to this.
Yeah, and one of the things
20 years of writing, just...
Is
just,
it really 20
yeah,
years?
20 Jeez. Years.
Christ.
And also, the other threat that was actually brought up to us just now, that was brought up to us, the outsiders and the gatekeepers, right? The recognition that Dresden and all the other powers, while they exist on Earth, are also just sort of part of this huge sprawling multiverse where cosmic horrors and alien beings. When I say alien, I don't mean like I do mean otherworldly, but not like within our dimension.
Cthulhu-esque.
Yes.
You're talking about Lovecraftian horrors. Yeah. I mean, and I hate to talk about Lovecraft because he was a piece of garbage, but like that specifically, that's what he's leaning towards.
Yep.
Is The outsiders are definitely like Lovecraft inspired type monsters.
Dresden's found himself in circumstances that are, in their own regard, superhuman too, right? Like he's gone from being a simple detective who solves problems alongside the police to riding an undead dinosaur through Chicago. To helping a heist wherein they are attempting to steal objects of power from hell.
If you like role playing games, if you're a D&D fan, it's the power crawl is like being part of a D&D campaign where you have long term characters. I mean, he starts out as like this little level one wizard, and by the time you get to where he's at now, I mean, he's gotten so much power that he's actually superhuman.
I think one of the things that I love the most about this series up until now, we got about 12 minutes on the spoiler timer. I think one of the things I love the most of the series at this point too is that Jim Butcher has created this absolutely massive and sprawling rogues gallery that Dresden has to deal with. And every book, and I know there's like a Jim Butcher's talk about there being actually like a bit of a formula to what enemies come up in what books, and I can't remember what that formula is.
It was numbers. It was based on certain numbers, right?
Yeah. And so you would sort of know what book going forward were those books that were going to feature certain threats. But Dresden has dealt with, his main nemesis is Nicodemus. right? Yeah. Nicodemus,
he's one of his biggest nemesis. After going through skin game, Nicodemus took a major hit.
Yeah.
And he's Dresden, I think, like, hurt him bad.
Yeah.
But was also used as a pawn to hurt Nicodemus.
Absolutely. Well, Nicodemus also damaged some things around Dresden as well.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Nicodemus, Dresden got off mostly
unscathed.
What, like, everybody made it out alive.
If you can recall for me, only because I can't remember, because it's been 6 years since I read Skin Game. I admit, like, I am a read the book once and basically be almost done with it kind of person. It was at the end of Skin Game where unassuming Waldo Butters takes up one of the swords of the cross and basically stares down Nicodemus. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't just take up a sword.
So it's actually fairly recent in the timeline that Waldo Butters has become so powerful.
It's months. Okay. It's like in the world of this story, it's months, even though it's been 6 years for us. And Dresden's time frame is weird. It's he's starting to talk about some of the characters getting older, and I feel like the series itself has taken place over about the course of like 10 to 15 years. Ow, sorry. Sorry, everyone.
Okay.
But, you know, that I think this is the closest he's ever actually placed two books together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny that it's the largest gap, but
Well, also at this point, too, if he doesn't start pushing these books together, we're going to be having characters like somebody like Karen Murphy, who is Dresden's cop friend. And also as of a few books ago, his potential love interest, his badass cop friend, who I believe he's talked about her being in her late 40s, if not early, like potentially early 50s. Am I wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't think he's given a specific date, but he talks about how they're getting older. I mean, it's been a theme. It's a theme that always runs with Dresden, is the fact that, because he's a wizard, everyone around him is going older.
And I think that also that makes me think of the only other series of, I mean, not that it's not a common theme in books, but I think about the existential horror that comes with that idea of outliving those that you love or you care for. I think of like Stephen King's The Green Mile, where Paul Edgecombe at the end of that book, he's been given the ability to live for about 600 years. But in that process realizes that his body is going to deteriorate well before his mind, and that he's watching everything he loves around him die. He's alone, and he's going to be alone for 600 years. And there is no thought more terrifying to me philosophically than that. And also in the R.A. Salvatore's Drizzt D'Urden series, with Drizzt being a dark elf, living as long as he does and watching those people that he loves and that he cares for in some books here and there just sort of fall over and like die of old age for crying out loud.
Don't worry about it, because let's have a conversation about R.A. Salvatore. Spoilers for that series, because I don't really care. He just brings everybody back. Death has no meaning in the R.A. Salvatore universe.
That's fine.
I got to the point where I'm done, and it's fine, because guess what? Wizards of the Coast says you can't have bad guy races anymore anyway, so...
Nope.
Good.
Well, they were also sort of, I mean, obviously breaking a little bit away from Dresden for a second, but they were actually hinting at that a little bit, too, with the Thousand Orcs series.
Yeah, but then it's literally been years since that. It's been, like, it's been over 10 years since that. Yeah, dude, that was back when I was still married.
One of the things I've been thinking about, we had this conversation before we started. I would jump back to Peace Talks really quick. One of the things that I was thinking about when we jumped into this book, and you and I both talked about it, was, wow, Dresden has gotten so far away from all that shit that we really liked at the beginning of the series, which was, he's just this detective trying to solve issues. And it's sometimes really comforting to see when, you know, there came a point in the past few books where Harry Dresden has gotten involved in so much heavily fantastical shit, right? Mm-hmm. His siege on Arctis Tor and Proven Guilty, where he literally goes to like the Winter Fey Court and basically does an attack on their dimensional
stronghold.
Home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Skin Game, where they're going into hell to do a heist, where it's gone to the point where it's way more fantasy bent than it is detective bent.
Yeah, it's less urban fantasy. Like, it's less urban and more fantasy now, as opposed to having been an urban fantasy
and
series.
I think so far with Peace Talks. Now, granted, we're only talking about up through about chapter 14 or 15 today, so a little before halfway. This is a two-parter thing, so next week we'll be getting to the end of it, into the real meat. I think actually I'm really surprised at this book so far that it feels like it's fallen back to there's a potential for detective work being done here. Dresden needs to find out the solution to what seems to be a very mundane problem surrounded by all of these massive powers, as opposed to deal with a powerful problem in mundane ways, if that makes sense. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Being where I am in the book right now, I'd say, without spoiling anything, that like I'm saying that I still don't have the same feeling that I had when I read like the first two or three books. Mm-hmm. They're still, I mean, let's face it, by the time you get to book three in the series, it stops being a detective series.
Yes. Yeah.
And becomes a fantasy series.
Well, book three is when he introduces Michael, his friend, who is a Knight of the Cross, right? A really, really good-hearted fellow who basically looks like Al Borland from Home Improvement.
What next week, that is a thing, by the way, next week, we're going to discuss who we'd like to see. We're going to do a dream cast for the Dresden Files, because it's been a long time since we've had that discussion, where my mind has completely changed on who I want to see a lot of people play these characters. By the way, there was a television show of the Dresden Files, if you didn't know.
Oh, man, it was not good.
It was not great. It was on Sci-Fi, I think. Paul Blackthorne, who I like as an actor, was Harry Dresden, and he just didn't have it as far as like the look of Harry Dresden, or even, I don't know, the feel of who Harry Dresden was.
Right.
But hey, he did have a sick hockey stick that he used as a wizard staff.
My God, it was not good. It was not good. And then that got killed.
Paul Blackthorne's going on to do a lot of other awesome stuff.
Yes, he's also gotten old too. He was an archer, right? Wasn't he an archer for a while?
Arrow.
That's what it is, Arrow. Yeah. Archer's the cartoon, but I'm thinking
he was also one of the main antagonists in Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I just played recently because it was free.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed the story mode.
The story is really surprisingly good in that, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
And I think he's great in it. But also, hey, is Paul Blackthorne English or not?
Great
question.
Because
he does an English accent in that.
He probably is. A name like Blackthorne? Based on
I mean, they picked the right last name for a guy to play Harry Dresden.
I know, right?
Like, Blackthorne sounds awesome.
It was also the name of a really awesome SNES game. Play it if you haven't. Worth it.
You know what? I've tried to play it.
It's awful.
it's trash. To be honest with you, I'm going to get a lot of heat for this. I've been going back and trying to play some SNES games.
If it's got super in front of it, man, it's a questionable journey at best.
I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of the games where they were willing to put super in front of it, they were putting their money in there, like Super Castlevania, Super Mario World. It's really funny because there was already Super Mario. But Super Mario World is great. I don't know of any other super games.
Super Castlevania?
Yeah, that's what I said, Super Castlevania.
Super Ghosts and Goblins?
Okay, Super Ghosts and Goblins.
Awful, great, by the way. I tried to play Super Ghosts and Goblins the other day, and I literally wanted to throw the Nintendo Switch across the room. Speaking of which, didn't you buy a Nintendo Switch recently?
I did buy a Nintendo Switch. I think my kids are upstairs playing it.
It's awesome.
Right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got mostly the three kids have wanted a way to play, like, Fortnite together. And it's great. It's actually been a thing that they've been bonding over, and the three of them argue constantly. So, like, it's a really cool thing to see them playing together. Of course, they're also screaming at each other the whole time,
calling
being
each other
mad
turds
at each other
and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwing things across the room.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, the conclusion of a Dresden novel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But I also got Animal Crossing, and haven't cracked into that yet because I haven't had the time. But I'll get there.
You will. You'll find time.
Is it going to eat my whole life?
Oh, yeah.
Guys, I guess the podcast is done because
this is the last episode of the podcast.
It's not. We're lying.
So just as we're about 2 minutes out from our spoiler quarantine, so I wanted to actually mention something that I was thinking about the other day. And it's one of the reasons why I would encourage other people, if they haven't gotten the chance to read any of the Dresden books, to just start from the beginning and keep going. Mm-hmm. is that Dresden is not a hero who comes out of the other side of things unaffected, unscathed, and without consequence.
No.
Dresden is always that character who is scrambling to the top of a mountain, getting dragged down the entire way, breaking off his fingernails on each and every rock along the way, and barely managing to get to the peak only to stumble bloodily over the other side.
I'm going to also put a big skirt right there on you. I got to interrupt and say, hey, dear Jim Butcher, thanks. I want to write a letter to Jim Butcher. I want to write a letter to Jim.
Go for it.
Dear Jim Butcher, I've been a fan of your Dresden Files books for a good long time. I love what you do with the magic and sorcery. All those other amazing things like spells.
Potions.
Monsters. But the one thing I've always had a problem with.
One thing.
Is in a series with a bunch of knights.
Knights.
The biggest knight of them all.
I already fucks.
Is Harry Dresden, White Knight. Harry Dresden.
Which is also
White
Knight the name of one of the books.
That series, Jim. And I got to tell you something, man. I really appreciate that you've taken Harry Dresden and he's grown as a character. And he's no longer taking his fedora off and blowing vape at ladies and telling them, m'lady. He's actually like saying, hey, guess what, ma'am? You're a strong, independent woman and I appreciate you. I'm not going to call myself a feminist because I don't deserve that title, but because I'm a man and I would never understand what the feminist struggle is like. But I'm Harry Dresden, and I'm just a good guy. I'm maybe a little chivalrous, but I've grown.
As Johnny,
so Jim, thanks.
As Johnny in our chat you. Just Much said, Harry Dresden, simp at large.
So, Jim, thanks for not making Harry a simp anymore. I love you. Bye bye. P.S. I want Rance to tell me about your dog.
Okay, so it is now basically also we've hit the zero mark. We are now into potential spoilers territory, right? So anybody
okay,
who's watching,
cool.
If you haven't read Peace Talks yet, there may be some spoilers. I think what I will
get out of here. Or don't get, you just decide what you want to do?
Out,
it'll be fine.
Get out of here. I love you so much, but if you're gonna be spoiled, then I don't want to spoil a book for you, bitch.
Like little spoiled brats. Get out of here.
I will
That's
say
this character, get out of here, guy.
We're only talking about up through like chapter 14 or so. Any spoilers that are going to come about, I think, are basically establishment of plot. Next week is when there's going to be the huge spoilers. But this week we're going up through 14. So it's mostly just plot establishment. So it's like, oh my gosh, here's the real thing Peace Talks is about. Because yes, while it's about supernatural peace talks, it's about a hell of a lot more than that, because of course Dresden can't keep his fucking nose out of anything but seven piles of cat shit at once.
Honestly, it should be called a couple of things. It should be called Dresden Files, Being Dads and Threesomes.
Oh my gosh, I'm a dad now. But Butters, you do threesomes? Why don't I get threesomes?
Also, my brother, he's going to be a dad?
My brother's going to be a dad?
Great reveal at the beginning of the book. The first couple of pages, Thomas, Harry's brother, says to him, hey, yo, guess what? My girlfriend's pregnant. And Harry's like, what?
And the biggest problem with that is that Thomas is a white court vampire. If anybody has seen What We Do in the Shadows, which is it's right now, the TV show is on FX. There's a type of characters in it called emotional vampires. And now in what we do in the shadows, those emotional vampires are basically like people who pin you in a corner and they're like, so what'd you do today? Well, me, I went over to my mom's house and I hung out with her for a bit. And then we made some barbecue, but it wasn't very good. So then I went home. He's like that only with sex. That's a white court vampire.
Yeah. And Actually, that was my first, when the big reveal of that problem is, hey, Harry, guess what? Much like in Aliens or in the, don't ask how I know this, in the don't Twilight
ask,
series.
In the Don't Ask How I Met Your Mother series?
Yes, in the Don't Ask Me How I Know This Twilight series. Apparently, the babies will kill you when you're pregnant with vampire babies. But in this, the vampire baby is going to eat your, it'll just eat your life force. Like, it's not going to actually eat you or chest burst like normal babies do.
Which would be super cool. This is not, though, I'm starting to wonder that Jim Butcher might have like a bit of a hang up with babies.
Is he a dad? Is Jim Butcher a dad?
No.
He's not to
a beautiful dog and an adorable foster cat. However, if you go on the man's Twitter at Longshot Author on Twitter, there's literally just videos of him walking his foster cat around in the like outside of the woods before breakfast, like on a leash, mm-hmm. and the cat does great. And I'm like, but like the last book, Dresden was discovered that Dresden has he had like a spirit an intelligence,
yeah, his spirit baby,
an intelligence.
He's got a bunch of babies at once
in his skull, yeah. That was about
Bob
to
the
burst
skull.
Out,
like Bob the Skull
behind you. Yeah,
yeah.
And now in this book, it's like he's
not
a
my
new
skull,
dad.
That skull.
He's a new dad. Thomas is going to be a new dad. There's a lot of new dad issues.
Dresden's a double dad. He's a double dad because he's got a one of my favorite parts of the book actually are Harry dealing with his daughter Maggie.
Yes.
I love it. And I didn't think I was going to. I thought that it was going to slow down the series. And maybe it's how I've changed in the past 6 years.
It is how you changed. It is how you changed.
Because now I have kids. They're stepkids, but like
you got that soft boy feeling for them.
Oh no, I yell at those kids. I don't actually yell at them. I don't yell at those kids. I mean, I yell at them when they deserve it, but like, because they're bad, when they're bad.
I'm a bit of the, I gotta admit,
they might be listening. Kids, I love you. I hope you're not listening right now.
I gotta be honest with you. I'm a little opposite on that.
Really?
I think Maggie's cute, but I don't think she's a realistic 10-year-old.
Is she 10 now?
Yeah. Maybe. Even
she's
almost
also, 11. Maggie is also on the spectrum.
You're right. And she's also emotionally compromised, mm-hmm. right? She's been through a lot of terrible shit.
At least I interpret it as Maggie being on the spectrum. In some of the side stories that have been posted, like, look, let's talk about it for a second. We're all over the place because now we can, like, now the world is open and we're allowed to talk about stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
A couple of things. Let me go back to Thomas and Justine. In previous book, Blood Rites, it was established that White Court vampires don't get their powers until they reach puberty and have sex for the first time.
Uh-huh.
So how is this baby going to eat Justine's life force? It seems like it's counterintuitive to the established canon in the series. Here we go. Tell me about it.
As you know, I'm an expert on the canon of Dresden Files. Me and Jim Butcher hung out together at one convention. He shook my hand and took a picture with me. As a result, you and I both know that I am an expert on all things Dresden Files. So the canon established in the previous book suggests that
I can't help it because
it just didn't make sense to me. It was like, I do feel like Butcher's got canon issues in this book. There's a part coming up
you can think of, and even if they're past where I'm at, I'm fine with that.
Chapter 19, Harry
this
goes
is really
back
fucking
into the bright,
specific.
Yeah, well, because I was listening to it again today. Harry goes back. I do my fucking work, man. Okay,
yeah, dude.
To the Brighter Future Society, which is the place that.
That replaces his
house. Yeah, yes. It's a castle built on top of his house. He mentions going through there, and the last time he went into the Brighter Future Society was when he was in a ghost in Ghost Story. And in fact, the last time Harry was in the Brighter Future Society was at the end of Skin Game when they went to Marcone and he and Molly brought part of their take from that heist to pay Weregild on a guard who's one of Marcone's guards who died.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like, Butcher just forgot the last like 10 pages of his previous book.
I think, you know, honestly, I wonder every time if somebody, like, if he goes back and, like, rereads every one of his books beforehand, or if he just fucking hates it.
No, I mean, I wouldn't. He's like, I don't think I'd go back. I'd be like, I've done this. This is
keep
stupid.
Jim, I'm going to need you to keep a fucking spreadsheet of all the details. So that way.
It's called a show Bible, bro.
So we make sure that if he casts a spell using two fingers and the will of his power from between his chesticles, that at the end of the book, he does it the same way.
I'm just busting your balls because you know me. I'm also a stickler. I'm a continuity stickler as well. I also wonder, but I also at the same time trust in Butcher as an author to maybe at some point make. So here is the other thing, the other plot point that comes out at the beginning of this book, which is that not only is there going to be a supernatural peace talk between all these races, but that Dresden's brother,
everybody's favorite Jim Butcher character, Jim Butcher,
that Thomas Wraith,
the Jim Files,
Thomas Wraith, who is Harry Dresden's brother and the White Court vampire, also assassinates a member of one of the other races,
allegedly.
Allegedly, and he is taken captive for it, and it is a big fucking issue. And presumably at this point, the idea is that he was blackmailed into doing this assassination under the pretense that his unborn child and his wife, Justine, would be held safe. So I'm wondering if there's something, like I don't necessarily, I'm wondering if there's something else, like that we're going to find out something about this child. What if she's not pregnant? What if this isn't a White Court vampire child yet? What if something else is going on?
Yeah, it's also very possible that in the lifestyle that Thomas and Justine live in order to be able to be together, which is in order for, okay, when you're touched by love in this universe, if you are truly loved,
you're touched,
a White Court vampire cannot touch you.
I'm touched by love.
Which means it's a curse to White Court vampires because if they fall in love with a person, they can no longer touch that person. So the way to break that curse, blessing, is they sleep with somebody else. So on a regular basis, Thomas and Justine sleep with other people.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They've explained that Justine has relations with women outside of her relationship with Thomas. And Thomas also has relations with women outside of their relationship, but they've never talked about whether or not Justine has relationships with men outside of their relationship.
Is Justine a White Court vampire?
She's just a normal human.
She's just like basically was a concubine.
She's
for lack
Thomas's
of a better term.
Thrall.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's what it is. That's the term.
And I mean, one of the things about the series that has gone up to this point that we got to talk about, man, is how it went from being a, like, every once in a while, Harry Dresden had some sex, you know, and Jim Butcher wrote about it very, like,
and
you know,
and
cleverly.
They faded into the comfort of each other's arms. Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. The next day I woke up and drank me some coffee.
Yeah. It's now
Harry,
a lot more.
Harry, no, like Harry Kirk. Fucks. Harry fucks.
Yeah. And he, there is in Skin Game, there's a dream. It turns out there's a dream sequence where he gets really detailed about the actual act of sex. And like, I'm definitely no prude, but like Jim Butcher, sometimes I wonder if maybe he's getting that weird dirty old man thing where he just loves
100%.
To write about
he's 100%
sex.
100% getting that weird dirty old man thing.
And, Jim, and if you're out there, actually, if you're out there, Jim, be a dirty old man. Do it.
are Harry's winter night powers sex based?
Yeah,
because he's always talking about like how like the winter mantle wants him to have sex with this different person or this other person.
It's funny. That's one of those things that sticks out in my head. Is that so? Harry is the winter knight, and the winter knight is basically a created fairy almost who is meant to protect Queen Mab and anybody else in royalty in the winter court. He's been given this winter night mantle and he's been turned into a bit of like a badass because of it. He is way stronger. He's taller because he's 6'9" now, right?
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't 6'9" at the beginning of this year.
Was he always 6'9"?
No, I don't think so. I think he was just fucking tall, and now he's 6'9". He's basically the size of a Humvee below his shorts.
He says he's NBA-sized.
Yeah, they say NBA-sized. He's got a Humvee in his pants.
He is the best at sex. We know he's the best at sex because women are into Harry Dresden.
All over Harry Dresden.
They're like, I love me some Harry Dresden. I bet he'd be.
Well, one of the things that I love about Dresden is if you look at the front of these the book covers, right? If you look at the book covers, it's always Dresden like leaning over with his staff and like this big hat
and
on.
And his hat that he never fucking wears.
In the books, he's like, I wore one of my D&D t-shirts and my duster and sweatpants and sneakers and a fucking Coca-Cola hat and went out to fight. Like,
what? He loses his outfit within 5 minutes of every book and like is just dressed like a slob the whole time. He's also constantly getting his ass kicked. So like he changes clothes multiple times in books. Like that was almost like a joke.
Yeah.
Excuse me. In Skin Game was like how often he changed his clothes. One of the things you wanted to talk about was our good old pal, because we were listening to it on audiobook.
Yeah.
Dresden Files renowned and beloved narrator, James Marsters, Spike from Buffy.
Yeah.
Now I gotta say, there's a few problems that I have with the narration that are different than the problems you have. They're the same, but I'll let you talk about your problems. My problems are that I think Marsters caught flack previously for his narration regarding ethnicity.
Really? Did he really?
I'm assuming. He had a really problematic reading of Jim's
daughter.
Dresden's dog, Mouse.
Yeah. Who is a foo dog, right? He's a temple dog from... I love how somebody asked,
Tibet,
like a...
right?
Yeah. There are 16 books in this series. So every time we're jumping back and forth, it's like, oh my God, here's the thing that's referenced like 3 books ago.
And there are series, but there's also short stories that take place in between things. And so like to have consumed all of this media is, first of all, appalling that any idiot would do that like us.
It's maddening. But Jim's going to die. He's going to die before the series is done at this rate.
Hey, guys. I know this is a callback from an entirely other podcast, but this is George R.R. Martin. Just here to tell you that I'm still alive.
If you liked
it. But I don't plan on finishing Game of Thrones. That show ended. It was great. I hope you enjoyed it. It was not great, George. It was great.
They already did it as a TV show.
I don't need to
show.
Tell you the story.
But like he did a side story. He did one of the short stories. It's done really well as far as it's written really well, where it takes place from three different points, the same events from three different points of view.
Right.
Where it's Harry's daughter Maggie, and Mouse.
Yes, it's the one where he's protecting her at the zoo, right?
Yes, it's the big problem with it is that he gives Mouse Asian accent that is really problematic.
I would like to interrupt here for a moment and say that stereotyping your accent based on old movies is a bad idea.
But he's also done that in this book. He's done that with one of the wardens, Carlos Ramirez, who is a...
Carlos is Hispanic, right?
Carlos is Hispanic, but he's always given Carlos a major like Hispanic accent. And it's really hard when you are attempting to create different characters in a book. And you're like, Butcher says... Carlos is Latin. Well, that's cool. How do I convey that Carlos is Latin other than just the time when I said Carlos is Latin?
Mm-hmm.
Just say that he's Latinx or whatever and be done with it.
I think there's a power, however, nowadays, like especially as writers, identifying that we need to be embodying and representing a far more diverse cross-section of people, right? Mm-hmm. That your diversity needs to be, I was trying to think the right way to put this the other day. It needs to be both subtle, simple, but authentic. which means someone's blackness, someone's queerness. These things are not the defining quality of who they are, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you feed them into the writing without it being that defining quality? It's that you do it subtly and with respect. So case in point, like finding authors who, you know, we don't need to worry about that a character is gay. They just happen to be with somebody of the same sex. And that's fine. We accept that where they are. And I do feel like Jim Butcher, for as much as I love his stories, he is a bit hung up sometimes on that. Like we've been told so many times that Sasha, one of the Knights of the Cross, is a black dude from Russia.
Like, and
like, but that's that's like a special thing about Sasha. He's a black dude from Russia.
It's like, oh, guess what? He's my black friend. Okay. All right.
No,
well, let's
No.
I mean, I know that's not what he's saying, but like, it's kind of what he's saying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For all the great things that Butcher does in this series, you're right. He's and it's so far along in the series now, you can't backtrack.
You can't. I'm sure there is stuff that Jim goes back, especially looking at like the first few books when Harry was a bit of like a white knighting chauvinist, where he's like, I'd certainly save him, but I never hit a girl because they're all meant to be saved. Or like later on where he's like, basically, I'm going to solve all their problems so I can fuck them. I mean, that's like death masks.
The other thing I was going to say was that that led up to all of this. So Carlos Ramirez in the previous books has been very, very Hispanic accented. He has no accent in this book, except that maybe he sounds a little bit like a hillbilly. Like his accent is gone.
Hey,
and I don't.
I'm Carlos Ramirez.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm one of the Ramirezes.
I don't think that it's Marsters forgetting what Ramirez sounded like. I think that it's somebody said to him, or even maybe he would said to himself, I don't think it's like, I'd like to give Marsters the credit and go, he thought about it and went, you know, maybe this just isn't going to work. I also found out something about James Marsters that I did not know until yesterday.
Oh no, is it bad? Is he canceled? Is it bad?
No, he's not canceled. I mean,
he's British.
Anime fans might think that he's canceled.
Is he British?
I don't know.
No, I don't think
he played. No, he's American.
I was like, we got to have somebody in America with talent, right? And I love James Marsters. Like Spike is the man.
He played Piccolo in the Dragon Ball Z movie.
Yes, I did know that. And it was
much maligned Dragon Ball Z movie, right?
Yeah, because that movie sucked. It's just like the Avatar movie and not the one with blue people, which also sucks.
Dude.
But well, the Airbender movie, too. Hot garbage, man. Hot garbage.
Thanks, M. Night. Way to go.
Good night.
Cool.
Good night, M. Night. Good night, M. Night.
Good night. Love you. See you later.
Bye.
But not you, podcast. We're right here.
I will say, so
hot Dresden Files.
There have been some people who have said some things that I want to get to in a few minutes.
Okay.
But all right. I think, so spoilers aside. So right now I have not.
So are we not in spoilers anymore?
No. We're still sort of spoiling. Okay. We're still sort of spoiling. Like, cause fuck it. Right.
Like milk.
It says it up there, doesn't it?
I don't know because I don't have it on my screen, bro.
Well, I'm the tech guru.
You're the stream controller.
I'm the tech guru.
The scream controller.
So I will say
with the live stream dream team, Bob and Rance, right here on the live stream.
Woo!
Right here on Twitch. Woo, way to go, baby.
I am 14 chapters in, and with the exception of talking, not much has happened. A lot has been created. Like there's been a lot of tension developed, right?
One fight. There's been one fight
and by this against. Point,
there's like ten fights in this book,
but I will say it's a fucking cool fight.
Yeah.
So they fight Ebenezer, who is Dresden's grandfather, who is a dick, by the way.
Grandfather. Dude, yeah, he's turned into a real boomer.
Let's talk about that for a second because I used to love Ebenezer
he's a real dick.
Literally, so Ebenezer McCoy is this old wizard who is Dresden's grandfather. He's also basically the black ops wetworks guy for the wizard council. So
imagine Wilford Brimley as a wizard.
And Ebenezer McCoy at one point to kill the leader of a vampire court literally drags like with his magic power, like force drags a satellite out of space and crushes the headquarters. Like how fucking cool is that? Right. But Ebenezer, for whatever reason in this book, and I really honestly, Bob, I can't remember why, so you might be able to help me. He's turned in from being a character that I really liked his wisdom, his power, and his ease of simplicity. Now I just, I hate him. Like, I legitimately don't like him because he's being such a dick to Dresden. He's like, look, you're hanging out with vampires. You got a kid that's in danger. Like, you've gotten your nose into way too much shit. You need to let, and his logic, I think, is sound. You got to let somebody else take care of the kid because you're not a good dad. You're a bad dad. Don't be a bad dad. But he's also being a real dickhead to Dresden about it. Like, a complete piece of ass.
I think that's a theme, though. I think that's kind of on purpose. I think it's sort of the idea of growing up. Like, Dresden's actually finally maturing and growing up as a person. And he's been an immature idiot the whole series. And now he's a dad. He's starting. And I think it's supposed, since Dresden's an unreliable narrator.
Would you say that he is, though? That's actually something I want to bring up a little bit.
Dresden has an entire several times in the books, Dresden has been bamboozled mentally. You don't find out until the end of the book.
He
tells you, but like, sorry, I've got a cat trying to jump up on my lap. Come on, bud. There he is.
Yay, Marco.
Ah, it's my boy.
Hey, Marco.
It's my boy, Marco. I think his attitudes change and change the narration of the books.
You're right. Now that I think about it, you're right. I think of an unreliable narrator as one who willingly misplaces trust or willingly asks to have trust placed in them and then alters it. And you're right, because changes in Ghost Story are all about his bamboozling himself, like making deals with dark powers and dark choices and dark beings to eliminate memories from his head. Even Skin Game, he willingly keeps information from the reader, so we don't know what his plan is. And you're right. And you actually just convinced me. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that stuff. I forget that, like, an unreliable narrator doesn't need to be a tricky asshole the entire time. Like, that to me is an unreliable narrator. I look at somebody like, you know, going back to the classics, talking about, like, in F. Scott Fitzgerald's Great Gatsby. Like, Nick is Nick is such a shitty narrator. Like, he is the worst dude so much. And I think I'm so used to unreliable narrators like Victor Frankenstein wanting to from the beginning change and manipulate our perspective and not just doing it unrepentingly and not just doing it because occasionally people, and that's what Dresden does. He occasionally does it because that's what people.
It is to the benefit of the book. It's done in a way that makes the book a more enjoyable experience as opposed to getting in the way. And you're never going to look at Butcher's writing and place it, as you have just done, next to The Great Gatsby and go, this is a work of amazing literature. We're going to study this for the next 40 to 100 years in school. Like, that's not going to happen, but you know, I don't need it to.
It's pulp
and you can use you can use those tools in Pulp Fiction and be good at it. Be good at your trade. Like, that's the thing that Butcher is. He's good at his trade.
He's great. He's a fantastic narrative twist author. Every book that I can think of in the Dresden, I remember there being one of the books, specifically Changes, where my wife texted me and said, "Fuck you." I was like, "What do you mean?" She was like, "I saw none of that coming, and I can't believe you got me so hooked into this. Fuck you, because I'm crying." Walking in to your room with Cold Days, throwing the book on your bed and yelling, "No!"
Oh, yep, I know the exact part. Yep,
because it was there from the beginning. And he's a really good noir. I think Butcher, this is it. You actually just helped me nail, I think, one of the issues that I'm having a little bit. At the very beginning of the series, back in Stormfront, in Full Moon, in Grave Peril, and a few beyond that, especially actually Summer Night, the first six books, really solid noir detective stuff. He's gotten a bit far away from the noir detective influence, and it's gotten more into this fantasy. And that's fine, and I feel like Peace Talks is his attempt to try to get back into noir, but I feel like it's gotten too far into the world of fairies and vampires and outsiders and He Who Walks Behind and all of that for it to ever be that ever again. So my personal expectation needs – the world has changed in Dresden's world, so I can't expect it to just be fun, goofy, noir – stuff anymore because it's not going to be. But that's what I miss.
And I think at the same time, like, that was one of the reasons that Skin Game was refreshing, because he took a genre and went in on genre. Like, yeah. He made a heist book.
Right.
It was like watching... which Marvel movie is the heist
Winter, movie? Winter
Ant-Man.
Soldier.
It's like, I was going to say Ant-Man.
Ant-Man.
It's like watching Ant-Man, because Ant-Man's a heist movie.
Yeah.
And it's like, or like watching Winter Soldier, because that's a spy movie.
Yeah.
That he does that every once in a while, and those are the books that usually stand out. Like, Skin Game is a good book. I can't say that it's an overwhelming high point in the series, but it does some interesting things. And at the end of it, you're like, okay, a lot has changed in this world because of this book,
right.
And he did it in a way that was engaging and fun.
Right. I do have a question to ask you. Before we maybe get into some quick comments from people.
Sure.
By the way, I need to say thank you so much, too. If you're listening to the podcast post-recording or now during our live stream, some of the commands that I put in our interactive box are not working the right way. So some of the
I saw that.
Some of the little messages were supposed to come out.
Thing mean?
What are these things? So
fuck it. We'll fix it. We'll fix it in post.
We'll fix it. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
I was going to say, that's the thing. Why don't we have that? I meant to ask you that today.
I need that.
We need that Bill O'Reilly sequence where he yells about doing it live.
There's something that's happening in this book that I hate. And I'm saying this with love, because in the end, I'm enjoying this book. So if somebody is like, listen to this, be like, they're shitting on this book. No, I'm loving it. Like, it's
you have a cat too.
I got a cat. Can I just throw conjuritis right in the fucking toilet?
What is that even for? Like, it's
what
it's like
is it, Jim?
He needed a thing to make
Dresden's life hard.
Yeah,
and to be a Deus Ex Machina, because that's what it is.
It's going to end up doing something eventually,
and it already has in the fight with the Corner Hound. So they there's this fight where they fight these beasts from another dimension that come out of corners. I guess corners are meant to be like they're like the intersections to other worlds. They can only come out of corners. And so they fight these, like, they reminded me of displacer beasts. Like, they have tentacles on their backs.
I think they just had tentacles coming out where their face
and their faces were, right?
Like, they have no face. Yeah.
And Dresden has now in the book, he's sneezing a lot.
And he's got a cold.
When he sneezes, a bunch of ectoplasm comes out of his mouth.
And makes stuff.
And stuff. He thinks about a thing and it's made. And at one point he thinks, he's like, I really wish I had a bucket. And then he sneezes and he makes a bucket. And
it's a really bad puberty joke.
Yeah. And you're right. You're right. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's another problem I want to bring up to you in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's all it is. Oh, look at all this slime that I made by accident because I can't control myself.
I can't control.
Son, if you can't control your slime, then you're going to have to make sure you're going to have to smack one off before the next adventure. You're gonna have to check those loads before the next.
That was my entire high school D&D career, man. Before the next adventure, just gotta rub one out.
Hey, going. Can I bring it on?
I'm sorry if there's any coworkers listening to this.
No,
really,
that doesn't matter.
Sorry,
we're all going insane anyway. So Dresden has conjuritis. That's what Ebenezer McCoy tells him at one point. He's like, son, you got the itis. You got the conjuritis.
Oh, let me tell you right now. Wizard Boomer is going to tell you. Wizard Boomer Wilford Brimley is going to tell you got puberty joke.
He doesn't say it unironically. He's like, oh, man, you've been messing around with too much jokes.
Holy shit.
You got the conjuritis. I'm like, and I was running when I heard this, and I literally went.
Also, that's the problem I have with you.
Apped back. And I was like, did he just fucking say conjuritis? Who created the term conjuritis?
Clearly Jim Butcher.
It's right up there with unobtainium.
Oh, man. Everybody loves Avatar unobtainium.
Unobtainium. Anyway, what were you going to say? That's a problem you have with me.
Yeah. I
keep putting my glasses on.
How can you run and read?
Actually. It puts my focus on what I'm listening to. And
instead of on dying.
Instead of on dying. I got through. My best runs have been reading. My best,
really?
and I pay attention so much more.
I guess that's probably the equivalent of like listening to Zombie Run, because like I when I'm doing Zombies Run I'm running, I'm always the music is there and I'm keeping kind of like pace with the music, but the next little snippet of story
is
kind of the thing that I'm looking forward to as I'm running. So I guess I get that. I'm sorry. I apologize, man.
No.
Sorry. Yo, no, I'm sorry. Yo.
Yo.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hey. Hey.
Hey, am I allowed to?
I'm sorry.
Oh, sir, can I?
I'm sorry.
The conjuritis thing is sort of, again, I say these things lightly because I have a lot of trust in Jim Butcher as an author. Unlike a lot of other authors who are writing fantasy right now, I have a lot of trust in him as an author to make that pay off in some regard. I'm a little afraid of it being yet again a repeat of the issues Dresden was having in the past, like two books, where he was having these migraines and these headaches, and it's like, oh my gosh, I've got a sentient intelligence spirit inside of me from when Evil Bob did evil things.
No, that's not, it wasn't from Evil Bob. That was from when he had a fallen angel trapped in his head.
That's right, fallen angel trapped in his head. They had
brain sex.
So many fucking things in Dresden's head. And now he's got conjuritis, and unless this works out to be something that has been given to him intentionally, I just don't see where it's like a really effective plot tool yet, but I'm not at the end yet. So I stand that out as my problem and not necessarily Jim Butcher's problem at the moment.
Look,
the dude's an accomplished author. He's got like almost 30 published books at this point. So
I'm going to say let's real quick.
Yeah.
Cause I know you want to get onto questions and we should move the episode like towards the conclusion at some point.
Yeah.
We don't need to be here all night. Let's get your least favorite and favorite new thing with the book.
Okay, my least favorite thing with the book so far. Starborn. I know it's been mentioned in the past. Apparently we find out, I think, and I could be wrong, we find out that Dresden as a wizard child, as a magical being, was born at a specific time where stars were aligned.
Every 666 years.
No, I'm done with prophecy stories. I just want a normal dude. And I'm hoping that Butcher again is clever enough to go like, ha ha ha, MacGuffin, and that maybe he's not actually Starborn. Because I just am not a big fan anymore of
The chosen one.
I'm a fan of chosen by circumstance, not chosen by birth. If you're going to become a prophet and hero, then it's because you were chosen near the final combat to be a prophet and hero, not because you were born that way.
You're Neville Longbottom, yes. Not Harry Potter.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm sorry. I've been trying to actually eliminate Harry Potter a little bit from my we had a conversation today about how I was angry about certain Harry Potter things because now I'm just making myself angry about Harry Potter things because J.K. Rowling sucks.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so your least favorite thing
is the Starborn reveal. At least the fact that it was given a little more body in this. It's been there previously. I don't know, something about it doesn't settle well with me. It feels like a bit of a plot device as opposed to a meaningful addition to the series so far.
Yeah. I think that I agree with you. Like, that's possibly my least favorite thing. But since you mentioned that, I'll go back and double down on the conjuritis thing.
Yeah.
I don't know where it's coming from. And I think we're wasting some valuable plot time as I'm listening to the book, which again, I'm not enjoying, but as I'm listening to the book, I'm like, there can be something else interesting here as opposed to this happened.
I look at books. This reminds me a lot of, I will say Proven Guilty is one of my favorite in the series, but Proven Guilty is a book that I feel needed a great deal of editing. It's huge. There's so much shit that happens in Proven Guilty. And I feel like Proven Guilty could have used like maybe 50 or 60 pages less. As an author, I don't know how the hell you do that, because I'm actually trying to do that with my own writing right now. How do you reduce so much writing? And so I respect that problem.
You're cutting parts off your baby.
Yeah, I'm respecting that problem a great deal, but that's what I'm feeling like might be happening a little bit with this, unless he comes around at the end and all these things really make sense. What would you say is your favorite thing so far in the novel up to this
point? New character, Freydis Gard.
Yes. Yes.
Freydis is my new favorite addition to the Dresden Files. She's
a Valkyrie.
Character Sigringard's sister.
Yes.
She's a badass, but she's also way less straight-laced than Sigrid is. And I just find her to be like, the way he describes her, she kind of reminds me of, is it Brigitte Nielsen from Rocky IV?
Yes. Yeah.
But like approachable and funny
totally.
And a badass, and she talks about how she's like, she's got a bunch of scars, like her knuckles are scarred, that he's not necessarily, she's not necessarily like overwhelmingly beautiful. Yeah. She's just, she's a fun character who's interesting. And one of the things that I don't know, as I talk about Dresden's, like, or Butcher's weird obsession with overwhelming sexuality is, yeah, like, she, Murphy gets the drop on her at one point, and she is like, yo, there's not a lot of people that I can have sex with, and I'm really sexually frustrated because I'm working for White Court Vampires. So, like, do you guys want to go have a, do you want to have a threesome? Because this is a threesome the book.
Yeah, like with Waldo.
Waldo Butters. Hey, if there's any takeaway from this novel, the final takeaway from this novel
should Waldo be, Butters fucks.
Waldo Butters fucks. Not just, he
after
just
land
fuck,
party, nonetheless.
Yeah, he fucks two werewolves.
Right? Like, Waldo, what are you doing? I will say, though, that is, that goes back to one of my favorite things.
Okay.
Is that I have really appreciated Jim Butcher's, and this is like a favorite thing for maybe the past few books, I've appreciated Jim Butcher's willingness to take a character that I think was a bit of a stereotyped joke when he was mm-hmm. introduced in Deadbeat. I think Butters came about in Deadbeat, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So he was like this little.
You mean that book that I had a hard time
the
naming?
Book he had a hard time naming.
Because I didn't know what Jurassic Park and what was it? Jurassic Park and
Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Waldo Butters is introduced as this just like dumpy little medical examiner who works in a morgue. He's a medical examiner mm-hmm. doctor. And you think that like he likes polka. That's his thing. And he's a nerd. And back in like 2006, 2005, when that book came out, it was like, okay, Butters is okay, funny, whatever. But he's actually really grown Butters into a powerfully important character, in that Butters is a normal dude who has been given a mantle of power. And that mantle of power is, he is a Knight of the Cross. He's one of literally three of like God's knights.
Yes.
And God does not pick knights in this series who are Christian. He picks people who do good things. And I love. That is one of the coolest yeah. things.
And who embody the three qualities Butters that are...
What are those qualities? What is Butters?
It's hope, faith, and love. And each one of the swords, that character has to embody that. Like Michael, the previous Knight of the Cross, embodied love. Yeah. His love for his family, his love for his fellow man, his love for his friend Harry, which he still... Michael is a character who, personally, for me...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have time to go as much into that this week, but
I mean, all I want to say is that I love Michael.
Yeah, I do,
like,
too.
I love Michael as a character. Are you mad about Michael?
No, right I'm loving it. That's okay. One of the things... Yeah. Another detail I loved, I don't want to say too much about it because I would like somebody to actually have the experience of reading it. The conversation that Harry has with his own daughter.
Yeah.
Where he comes very straightforward with his own daughter and says, she's like, Dad, where are you going? And he knows he's going on like a dangerous mission, more or less. And he's like, going on a dangerous mission. That means I might not come back. He doesn't give a 10-year, he doesn't lie to his kid. And I love that.
But that's what I love about, that's what I'm saying. Like, I love these interactions with Maggie, and you're right. They may not be the most realistic, but I'm enjoying them.
Yes.
And that's cool.
But I think Butters growing as a character, taking on this, he's Knight of the Cross, and he also has
a lightsaber.
His sword appears to him in a way that is fitting for him. And because Butters loves Star Wars, he gets a sword that's broken in half and emits a massive beam of light.
Have you gotten to when they're talking, when he and Sonya are working together?
No, not yet.
Like training together?
No, not yet.
Get there. Then I won't spoil that for you. But there's actually, in talking about the faith, there's conversations about what, you know, where faith and, wait, because Fetalocius is, which one is
Fetalocius is the sword.
Is that the one that he, that's the sword of faith, but is that the one that Butters has, or does Butters have the sword of hope?
Butters, I believe, has the sword of hope because it's Star Wars.
Right. That's okay, so it's
because
Amorakius is the sword of love.
Yes. Because
Amor. Fetalocius is the sword of
faith
because of fidelity.
Yeah.
And
Hemorrhoidiakius.
Now if there's Dresden fans listening, they're gonna be like, are you kidding me right now?
Beats the shit out of me. I can't remember. So I'm interested to see Butters even more because I think Butters has sort of come to me like the everyman hero for me in this book.
He's the window character.
Yeah. Yes. He's training to be better. He's not the best yet, but he's doing what I always wanted Xander and Buffy to do.
Asparakius? Yeah.
He's doing what I wanted Xander and Buffy to do, which is Just train. You're dealing with a bunch of ugly shit. Get better. Get good, wait. Son.
Wait, Sonya has Asparachus.
Okay, so
then, that means that that's the sword of hope. So I'm confused.
Me too. Let's figure it out for next time.
I don't know Latin.
Maybe nobody cares at this point.
No, it's fine.
So there were just a few comments, I think, of people. So, yeah, so I want
those comments.
I want to make a quick shout out. There was Wolf. Wolf was in the chat. We know Elm Wolf.
Matt Wolf.
Yep. Somebody saying Kit Kat mentioning we had talked about Game of Thrones being like, God, the ending of that sucked. No, so quick reminder, the ending of that sucked. And I have to send a quick appreciation to our boy, Johnny, who came in here with he left when spoilers were being called and was sort of moving along with us. And we were talking about stuff and mentioning stuff in the chat.
Awesome.
We have about 5 minutes left.
OK,
maybe a few minutes left. Didn't know if anybody had any questions or thoughts or things they wanted to bring up about the book, about the series in general. Now that we've mentioned our so far, I guess our favorites and our not so favorites, but, in the meantime, while we're waiting for that, do you have any prediction as to what you think might be going on, near the end of this book? Like things beyond where you've read yet?
I think we're going to lose somebody. I actually think that, Butcher hasn't gone out and taken anybody out in a long time. We're overdue. He keeps upping the stakes. So I think we may see somebody die by the end of the book. Doesn't necessarily have to be the most important character.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it will be one of the knights because he's already removed knights in different ways several times in the series. I think I'm loath to say I don't think it's going to be Karen.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either.
And I actually hope that he keeps this relationship that's going between Harry and Karen on. I'm no hater of a love story or romantic parts in a series, but honestly, it was like in The Office when
Pam and Jim
got together and you're like,
finally, fuck with Pam and Jim. Don't fuck with Pam and Jim. Just
and
like
that's,
I'm
that was it. Like they kept. What is your cat doing, bro?
Just sneezing. Just like I'm gonna say. Oh, okay. If we're talking about Brooklyn Nine-Nine, don't fuck with Jake and Amy. Just don't.
I just don't.
We don't need drama.
I mean, I don't exactly. That's the weakest part of a show. You get the love story together, let it last, and it's fine. Move on to something else because there are other things in life. And I'm not necessarily reading the series to find out whether Harry and Karen stay together. Right. I mean, I want them to, and that's great. I don't want, like, also, let's talk about a thing that I need to go back to. Butcher, and we talk about the weird sex stuff with Butcher sometimes. Things that, I mentioned this to you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
One of the things that has bothered me about Harry's dealing with his former apprentice, Molly Carpenter, who's his friend Michael's daughter, is whenever he talks about her and the reason why she held a torch for him through so many books. And he was always like, this is never going to happen. And one of the reasons that he always gave that it was never going to happen was, I've known you since you were in a training bra. Okay, that's a weird way to put it. Why don't you say since you were a little kid? Why do you have to act like you're sexualizing the idea of a child by going, I knew you since you were in a training bra. Brr, brr, brr. Like, okay, say, hey, I knew you since you were a little kid. Or, you know, it's weird.
I can
it's
only
just
hope.
Weird, Butcher. And it was used multiple times. My cat is trying to crawl up my back, by the way.
Mine is here. Yeah, I can't. I'm hoping that, I think Jim is probably shaking off a lot of that. I think he's shaking off.
Yeah.
I think there's stuff too, as you write, right? Like, and I know as my own personal experience, going back and looking at writing that I did literally 10 years ago, there's stuff that I wrote. I was like, oh my God, what was in your mind? What was in your fucking mind?
And maybe he has.
Yeah.
Like we've changed. We've talked about that. Like years ago, I didn't think that any of this was problematic or weird. And now as I've advanced as a human being,
you look at it,
matured,
you're like,
and the world has changed around me. Like, I'm like, yo, I don't really like this very much anymore. You know, a minimal of problematic stuff, but enough that I'm glad that this story has moved forward and that I can give Butcher credit for not only being sort of like a decent person in his writing, but from what you've said, not being a terribly problematic person politically.
His Twitter, it's clear that, so I know, you know, obviously it's been the longest gap since Jim Butcher has put out a book. He's, you know, and it's been written about a number of times where he's had some, you know, life circumstances come up, as we all do. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going back through his Twitter the other day, and I was just smiling, right? He, like, fosters a cat. He's got this beautiful dog and this nice home. And just, like, but it's cool to, like, see. It's, like, cool. Like, dude's doing well. And it's not somebody like Larry Correa, who is, like, just literally a garbage dump of a controversial human fire.
Oh, man. Just, hey, I want to congratulate you. I know there's only a few minutes left in the episode.
Oh, sure.
But I want to congratulate you for getting through a whole episode for the first time in, like, I don't know, a couple of weeks, man. Not challenging an author to a fight.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, Jim, if you want to, I know that you say,
no, stop it.
I know
stop
that, Jim,
right now.
Jim, I know
stop
you say in your
stop
bio,
it.
Jim,
stop.
I know you say in
stop
your bio
it. Stop.
That you are the master of long lost martial arts. Bring it the fuck on, Jim Butcher. I wouldn't actually fight Jim Butcher because I like him.
I want to interrupt real quick. Yeah. Just looking at the feed, because I'm actually, for the first time in the whole episode, really looked at the feed.
Look at the feed.
Hey, Gabe, thanks.
Gabe.
Thank you for the compliment.
Gabe.
I appreciate it, man. Look, as my face disappears, quality. That's what we strive for here.
So, yeah, no, it's been really cool. Well, I think that's about it. So next week, we're going to finish up the book. We're going to finish up Peace Talks by Jim Butcher. So next week, heavy, heavy spoilers. So I think we might put a less time on the spoiler clock. So if you haven't read it by now, read the damn book, because it's really
also
good. Or start reading the Dresden series. Start reading the Dresden series.
Start thinking about it. If you want to shadow cast it, start thinking about it.
And let us
know. I'd love to see what everybody else's choices here are. You know, get in touch with us on the Twitter. What's your Twitter?
Oh, my Twitter is just at Violence Obscene.
Okay, so find us at Violence Obscene on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram at The Quarantine Book Club Podcast.
The longest damn name.
I know, but hey, there's other ones out there. You can find us on our website at www.thequarantinebookclub.com. Make sure that you add the because I've been getting emails from people who want to get on Quarantine Book Club, and it's
definitely
this other
a different podcast experience.
Completely different podcast.
Like, would you mind? Would you mind? Could you please review? And we're like, yo, have you listened to this shit? Because the last books that we read, we like tore the fuck apart. Basically talked about how they were hot garbage. Do you want to, I mean, yeah, so.
Yeah, you can search for us on our, what the heck? Oh, on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's right. Sorry. Cool, Facebook. The Quarantine Book Club on Facebook. You can find it. Look for our logo. If you've seen, you know, it's around. It's that yellow thing with the biohazard symbol.
Yeah. We're on Apple Podcasts, all that kind of jazz.
Yep. Find us where you find great podcasts. Also, check our YouTube channel out. This episode will be up there Saturday. This episode will be on podcasts Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, man, that's about it. Like and subscribe and all that other good garbage.
Yeah, hit that like button. I'd also like to make a shout out too. I'm wearing my Fuego shirt. By my friend Annie Miles. Annie, how are you? Shout out to you. I love this shirt. It's the theme shirt. I dig it. eat my ass, Bob.
I'll leave my backdrop arts artist in the description on the podcast and the YouTube episode. So find it there.
All right. Well, buddy, I'm so glad we did this. I appreciate anybody who came in there. I appreciate you guys.
Anybody who came in what?
Came in there. Came in there. I appreciate you guys showing up. So
I appreciate you coming in there too.
Yeah. Dorn, thank you. Jack Crispy with the raid. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate all you guys hanging out and chilling. We'll see you. We'll be doing this again next Monday at 8 p.m. So other than that, hope you guys have an awesome night.
Hey, love you guys. Don't be a hippie punk snot.
Don't be a hippie punk snot flying on Belladonna. I'm flying on Belladonna.